Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, on the Leonard Lopate show today, a lot of foods claim that they're made with whole grains or are all natural. So on his Please Explain segment, you can find out how to tell when a food label is accurate and when it's just hype. The Leonard Lopate show today at noon on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. Meanwhile, come Wednesday, you might have to open your own door, sign for your own packages, oh my God, and take out your own trash. But it's really much more serious than that. As we speak, the Building Service Workers Union, Local 32BJ, is negotiating with building owners to hammer out a deal to avoid a strike, but so far, no deal. We're talking about over 30,000 doormen, porters, supers, elevator operators. Yes, there are still some elevator operators left. And handy men and women all over the city. Building service workers haven't struck since 1991 when there was a 12-day walkout. Mike Fishman, president of 32BJ, joins me now from the Sheraton Hotel in Midtown, where he has stepped out of negotiations to join us. So, Mike Fishman, welcome back to WNYC. We really appreciate your time in the middle of all this.
Glad to be here, Brian.
Several thousand workers showed up at a rally this week. They say they will strike if no deal is reached by Tuesday. How close are you?
Well, right now we're far apart. The employers have proposals on the table to cut health care, take away pensions, and cut wages, and that's just not acceptable.
You have workers in every borough but the Bronx, I understand, in over 3,000 buildings. Does that mean there's not one doorman building in the Bronx? I know there is.
We have a separate contract for the Bronx. They're not included in this negotiations. Theirs will be coming up later in the year. But we have about 5,000 members in the Bronx.
And how many New Yorkers will be affected if your workers strike?
Well, over a million New Yorkers live in the buildings that we represent, those 3,000 buildings, but certainly more than a million will know what's going on.
Listeners, are you a 32BJ member? Do you want to call up and weigh in, or do you live in a building that would be in effect, that would be affected and have an opinion or a question? For Mike Fishman, we'll get into the issues. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. The last time you negotiated the deal was 4 years ago during boom times. The debate now seems to be about where New York is in terms of economic recovery. The building owners are arguing that the union should concede because of all the soft real estate market problems and the overall downturn in the economy, that because of that you should make concessions compared to 4 years ago. Is that not a legitimate argument to some degree?
No, we don't think it's legitimate. 4 years ago when things were good, they didn't consider us their partners in profit, and they were making a huge profit in those days. And we don't consider ourselves their partners in pain right now. And the pain is actually very limited. There's still the lowest vacancy rate in the country in New York, and the value of real estate is 20% greater than the value was 4 years ago. So, you know, we think this is about getting a fair contract, decent wages, people keeping their health care and good health care, and having a modest retirement income. And those things are not too great to ask for working people in New York.
And I guess the two sides will argue about the actual economics of the moment. But on the theory, as you just said it, you don't see yourself as partners in their pain. A lot of people are going to hear that negatively and think, well, yeah, the workers have to share in the pain as well as the owners if it is a time of pain, right?
Yeah, and what we would say is the workers do. I mean, the economy, we're an integral part of every building and every family in New York, and we do share in what's going on in the economy. And as everybody else, we need to be able to take care of our families. Health care at a time when the United States has just passed healthcare reform is something that every American should have, and we have a very good and modest-priced healthcare plan and a modest pension and really modest wages. Our wages are $40,000 a year, which is, in New York, only $10,000 above the New York poverty line, which is, lower middle class. And we're not saying that doormen and handymen and porters should be paid an extravagant wage. But people need to live here. Some of our members were telling me the other day, their costs are going up every day. In these 4 years, milk has gone up, for instance, a basic commodity, 18%. Cost for transportation is now rising as the MTA considers another increase in subway fares and bus fares. And if you happen to be out of the city, it costs even more coming into the city now, nearly 50% increase. So we take it very seriously that we're part of everybody's family in New York. We try to, as you were saying, it's not just about opening the door and taking out the garbage. Our members are every day helping an elderly person live a decent life in New York, or watching the kids as they wait for the school bus, or helping people move in, move out, take care of their apartments, and take care of their families. And I think we have a very good relationship with the tenants. We do understand it's hard times. We're not asking for the moon. We're not saying in hard times we have to do better than everybody else, but we're saying we have to keep up with the costs.
It's only residential buildings right now, not commercial buildings?
Right. This is residential negotiations, 30,000 members who work in the Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan apartment buildings.
So a comment from our webpage from someone posting as landless from Brooklyn. The job is low-skilled with excellent benefits. The financial industry that funded that pay has not recovered. Auto workers who actually produced something have accepted two-tier and reduced benefits. Even city workers have to pay toward their health benefits and have accepted a new pension tier. Why not you?
Yeah, well, I would say, first of all, we always do contribute to our health plan. Obviously, we have copays on our health plan and going to the doctor. But also, in past years, we've chosen to defer wage increases and put it into health care. And just because it's not a contribution each month now, it doesn't mean we haven't paid for it before. And that, you know, the problem with paying for your health care, the way health care in this country is set up, is when there's a premium sharing, then the only those who are sick take the health plan, then health plan costs more. Those who don't take the health plan then get sick and are not taken care of. That puts a burden on the city. So we think we've actually found a better way to do this. And on the pension plan, the truth of the matter is the city and the state have not funded it adequately. And we've tried to do the right thing by our pension plan, keep it modest and keep it funded. And so we don't need that second tier.
Mike Fishman, president of 32BJ, the Building Workers Union. You're hearing about the possible strike in residential buildings in all the boroughs except the Bronx that would take effect next Wednesday morning. Vincent in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Vincent.
Good morning. I'm happy you're discussing this. I'm disabled with varicose veins. I put myself through school, being a doorman, elevator operator, porter. I've delivered a baby grand piano to John Lennon and opened doors for William S. Paley. The problem is during Gus Bavona's term of 32BJ, when he built his 15-story penthouse and retired with a 3.4 platinum parachute retirement, the union divided the workers. It used to be 40 seconds on the job or 40 years on the job, everyone was equal. In the 90s, they said if you're under 2 years, you only get 80% of contract. Then, if you were coming on and in, then you had to pay into the health care for 2 years, but you didn't get the benefits until you were actually paid up for the 2 years. So I don't know if these still exist, but the other thing is, if you go from Park Avenue to Fifth Avenue, you will not see a black doorman or a black worker for the most part. If you go to the West Central Park West and over, you'll see it. It's the Irish Mafia of the old days, and now the Hispanic Mafia has controlled the buildings.
Vincent, you put a lot on the table there. Mike Fishman, you want to address the last point first?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, obviously our union is different than I think people think in the construction union. We don't do hiring in our union. That's hiring by the employers. And we would certainly agree with the caller that we need as much diversity as possible in the buildings. And we work every day to try and make sure that happens. We're a union made up of people from all over the world, all different cultures, all different religions. And we act as one because that's what we believe. And we should have that diversity in the buildings. The one other thing I would add is the caller said about them his working his way through college as a doorman. We have many, many members who are doing that, and many members, kids who want to get into it and move on to something better, and that's a big part of our work. What? And the last thing I would say is that, I think your email message said, talked about it being an unskilled job. Mm-hmm. If you actually had to do this job, you would understand how difficult it is, dealing with hundreds of tenants, trying to keep everybody happy, do the work that people want, the things that people demand. It's far beyond just opening a door. It's about dealing with people, making their lives better, and doing all kinds of things that take a lot of skill, both personally and also physically.
What is the racial breakdown of your union members at this point? It is getting very much Hispanic, and there aren't still that many African Americans, right?
Well, it's actually not true. I mean, we almost exactly mirror the population of the city. We have a large African American membership, large...
Like 25%?
Yeah, close to that. It's about 20, 22, something like that. And about 40% Latino membership. And then Eastern European, Western European membership, and of course, native-born.
How many women? We never see women in these jobs. How many women?
A lot of women in the commercial sector, not in the residential sector. And we certainly encourage women to apply and get into the industry. We would say, let's change the name from a doorman to a door attendant.
Yeah, why wouldn't you see more women in that job, for example?
You know, I mean, it's the question you have to ask the employers. They're the ones who do the hiring. And we encourage them every day to bring women into the industry, not just as door attendants, but as superintendents. So we do have a number of very, very skilled and highly qualified superintendents, women superintendents, and obviously they do a great job.
Karen in Manhattan has a door woman. Karen, is that right?
Yeah, she's terrific, but she's the only one I've seen in any door person building I've ever visited. So you were talking about racial diversity. What about gender diversity?
Yeah, well, as we just discussed.
Well, I didn't hear that because I was on hold.
You were on hold, but you raise a great point.
We're for it.
And he says it's on the owners. Bob in Rego Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Ryan, how you doing,
guy?
You do an amazing job.
Thank you.
I want to. My question is this: what's stopping the 3,000 landlords to fire 30,000 employees, put an ad in the newspaper, seeking 30,000 doormen, and with the way the economy is, they would not only get 30,000 people apply, they'd get hundreds of thousands of people to apply.
It's a good question. What would stop them from breaking the union in that way?
Well, they could try to do that, obviously, but, you know, that's not the kind of relationship we have, nor do we want. If we have to go on strike, we would hope that the withholding of services will get us to an agreement. But if they start trying to hire people, we would do everything we can to try and stop that and talk people out of it. But the truth of the matter is hiring a doorman is not just hiring a person off the street. These are people who become part of people's families, live in their houses, live with them every day. And it's very important that that person be somebody that they are comfortable with and that they get to know.
Much of the new construction built during our most recent building boom got public subsidies through the 421A tax abatement, among other things. In order to take these subsidies, developers had to agree to hire 32 BJ workers. How many new 32 BJ workers are there in the city because of those kinds of deals?
Yeah, I mean, the fact is that the 421A, the program you're talking about, hasn't really taken effect yet, that those buildings haven't been completed. But I think there'll probably be several thousand new members who will come into the union because of that. And we think that's very important for the city. You know, this is not just about our negotiations. This is about working people in the city. Are working people going to be able to have a decent wage? And let's be honest, $40,000 is not that much money to live in New York City if you're trying to raise your family.
And let me jump in because we just have a few minutes left, and
okay.
We now have an owner calling in. Josh in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Josh.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you for calling.
First off, I'd like to say that under Mr. Fishman's rule of 32BJ, I have seen, you know, a vast improvement over the administration of the union and the way that it cooperates with owners. And he should definitely be commended for that with respect to streamlining certain administrative processes and things like that. However, one thing that's not discussed when talking about these union negotiations is the disciplinary process that owners have to go through when workers, particularly superintendents, are found to not be doing their jobs correctly or actually in some circumstances, you know, committing waste or fraud or theft on these properties. Now,
is there a rubber room for supers?
No, I don't know if there's a rubber room for supers, but there are some extended costs to owners in the form of, you know, exorbitant settlement costs when a superintendent needs to be terminated, The process of actually getting through to a termination can take several months, even though, you know, sometimes supers and handymen and porters are found either doing drugs or taking drugs while working on the premises.
Josh, I'm going to get an answer to your question, but real quick, where do you see these negotiations winding up Tuesday night?
I, for one, do not want a strike, and I think that economically, I think the parties are going to get closer together, and something is going to happen that's going to be either everybody's going to be equally disappointed or everybody's going to be equally happy going forward. I would just like to see, you know, the union, if we're going to be partners in profit and partners in pain going forward, mm-hmm. I'd like to see the union help owners a lot more in terms of getting workers trained and mm-hmm. keeping them on the job and making them do their
job.
How
about the 401k to replace the traditional pension? Is that crucial for you, Josh?
For us, it could go either way. I mean, you know, I think that the workers should have good benefits. I think they should have good retirement plans. I think a 401k is a very good way to do it.
All right, and we have to leave it there, but you get the last 15 seconds, Mike Fishman, on any of that, including discipline.
Well, I think that we have a very good procedure with the real estate board that's been in effect for 20 years. We have our own arbitration system, and we take it very seriously, and so do the owners, and we try and work through cases that are really a problem and agree when there's a problem and where there isn't. But workers need protection from arbitrary management, and that's what the system is really there to protect.
Mike Fishman, president of 32BJ. We'll see what happens on Tuesday nights with these building workers' negotiations. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC.